Could we talk about the origin of this diaspora tax? Because I understand that back in November, the National Post had put out an article that by Stuart Bell, which was talking about how this 2% tax was being applied, and the consulate of the Eritrean consulate in Toronto was implicated for it. So this seems to be widespread throughout the diaspora, not just in Winnipeg. What is your understanding of the origin of that 2% tax? Does it goes back to the origins of the establishment of Eritrea, does it not?
The origin starts during the armed struggle, since these people were...
against Ethiopia.
Yeah, during the armed struggle against Ethiopia. And people were helping by paying a slice of the cake from what they get as a salary. But after the 1994, I think, they enacted it as a law that every Eritrean diaspora has to pay 2% out of their gross income. And if you don't pay this 2%, it is you don't have any services from the Eritrean consulate, from the Eritrean government, and now it's becoming coercing people. Now they are just canvassing, calling people, they have to pay. And currently, the United Nations has condemned this 2% extortion. And Minister Jesse Nkeni has also expressed his grave concern that Eritrean Canadians are coerced and extorted to pay this 2% tax.
Okay. Yeah, that was that resolution, I believe, that was about 10 days ago, not very
long. Yeah, and now it's the Eritrean government has been slapped with another sanction 2023. Uh-huh. And this goes stretched to the 2% tax extortion and also on the revenues coming from the mining sector.
Okay. Could you maybe explain? I mean, you're both part of the Eritrean diaspora yourselves. I mean, what this coercion, I mean, how is it that Eritreans are not able to, that they are compelled to pay this rather than, I mean, unless they, are they being misled? Are they just... what kind of muscle is being used to influence them?
Yeah, that's a good question. The Eritrean community and the consulate, the Lambros group, their full-fledged work here is to coerce people in such a way that if you don't pay, you will have the consequences, such as your parents or your family back home will be incarcerated or will be intimidated. And even here, they play smear tactics that if you are not paying, they don't give you any services. They try to isolate you out from the community. And if you go back home also, you don't have any services. For example, some people who have credentials from the University of Asmara, they want their reports, students' copies, here to pursue their studies. And the Eritrean people, such as Lambros, who claim themselves that they give services to the community members, they just ask them to pay 2% tax for all they have been out of Eritrea. And this is how they implement it. And if you don't pay, you don't get it, and you're stuck.
Hmm. And you have, many Eritreans have family back in Eritrea.
Oh yeah, everybody has a close attachment with the families back home, extended families, immediate family members, brothers, sisters, siblings, and parents.
So there's some intimidation aspects there too, I mean, given the nature of this regime?
Yeah, big time. This is the mechanism they use to implement this 2% tax and even to silence Eritreans such as me and my group or people who just won't speak their mind and exercise their democratic rights. And if we have the only thing that we are trying to be seen as the rivalry to Lambros and his group is that because we have different opinion from his, because we are just saying that the situation in Eritrea is getting worse and worse because of the dictatorship. People are dying, people are there is mass exodus, and people are butchered in Sinai Desert. They are becoming organ slaves. There is organ harvesting happening to our brothers and sisters in the desert, and people are dying on the sea because they fled the dictatorship back home. So because of we are saying that, we have because we are advocating for the human rights in Eritrea, and because of this opinion, the Lambros and his groups are trying to paint us as if we are rivals to their group. But as Eritreans, we feel proud that we are defending the rights of our people.
I wonder if you, like, you know, the two of you have any personal motivations beyond this affection for human rights. I mean, I know, Barakat, you do have a sister who's been threatened by the regime.
Yeah, my sister now, last Sunday, has been her 8th year in incarceration since she was jailed in 2008. And she has been incommunicado for this long without any charges. And we don't know her whereabouts is, and we don't even know whether she is alive or dead. So this is a grave concern, but it's not only my sister. Like thousands and thousands, more than 30,000 Eritreans are perishing, where people don't know where they are, whether they are dead or not. So imagine how the agony of the people under this dictator is, and supporting such kind of government in Canada, I don't think it's acceptable in the values of Canadians and in front of rule of law.
Yeah, what mind-boggling issue what I see here to just what Barakat was saying. I mean, these people in Eritrea, we only have one radio, one television, and one newspaper, and those are they advocate for the government. Those are for the government. They arrested and imprisoned all private journalists in 2002, and they stay in prison. And they arrested pastors, evangelists, and they cracked down on the evangelical churches and different religious groups. Even the Orthodox Pope remains under house arrest. So having this being in Eritrean case, and many people being in jail, We were persecuted, and we ended up in Winnipeg. And when we came in Winnipeg, there is a community here who claims to be supporting newcomers. On the other hand, they promote day and night the politics of the government that we fled from. And they ask people to pay 2% tax. They ask people to pay $500 from their per year. I mean, this is really in a conflict of interest. You have to do that or the other one. So and if you say anything, there is retaliation in your family back home. And I know people, they cry, they show me their receipts, they cry, they can't come out and speak, they will lose their house, or they will have serious consequences. And this, if they have any, guarantee that this they will not be exposed. Yeah, we can show them to the government, and we can take them to the government, or we can show them clearly what's happening hidden, and people cannot come up and say what's happening. I mean, the only way to stop this extortion is just by banning it. Otherwise, people are paying while crying, and this is extortion. And this is done by the Eritrean community, the so-called Eritrean community here, group here, led by Lambros Kyriakakos. There are other Eritrean community groups for your information, and no one of them gets into this activity other than the one for Lambros.
When I spoke to Lambros briefly yesterday, he indicated that some of the 2% diaspora tax was being used to finance the education of people like yourselves.
Well, this is pretty pretty funny. I mean, they have closed the university, the higher education, and now there are colleges unrecognized by the international standards. And the deans of the college are colonels, military juntas. So how is it possible that they are using the dollars raised by the 2% tax uses it for education? We have found that the monitoring group we read on the report for the United Nations Security Council that some money raised from North America. It was channeled to the Al-Shabaab terrorists via Dubai and through the Nairobi office of the Eritrean embassy. So
Al-Shabaab being the Al-Qaeda affiliate.
Al-Shabaab is the Al-Qaeda affiliated terrorist group in Somalia. And the whole world believed and are saying that the Eritrean government funds, trains, and supports these terrorists. And this government has been at war with all its neighbors, and they fund opposition groups in each and every country. So this money, the 2% raised, is used for such illicit and illegal activities. And did he ever show you any financial transactions or any projects conducted by the 2% tax? This is what we want to see. There is no accountability and transparency. And I don't expect Lambros Kyriakos to show you or to tell you that we have given Sheikh Sharif or whatever the terrorists in Somalia leaders that a check of $80,000. Although this is what the reality is, but what do you expect, Michael? If we are saying that these people are raising illegal money, they are not going to tell you that we spend it illegally. They will tell you that we spend it on education, but there is no any accountability and transparency towards these transactions. And we want to make clear that this is what's happening behind the curtain or underground. Such illicit activities by the Lambros Kyriakos and his bosses in the dictators back home.
Okay. If you have a last thoughts, yes. Daniel?
Just to add to what Barakat was saying, the money that has been collected here in Winnipeg or in any other cities in Canada ends up in the hands of Al-Shabaab. There is an evidence through the monitoring group. Just to add, Al-Shabaab is a terrorist organization that has vowed to bomb Canada and to kill Canadians. And they have said this clearly. They are terrorist organizations. And the Eritrean government's affiliation to this organization is just a clear observation that has been seen and it's evidenced. And just to add another thing, if Mr. Lambros Kyriakos knows where this 2% tax goes, then there you have evidence that he's clearly linked to the government who persecuted us, who doesn't have any audit, who doesn't have anything. So he can't claim he's supporting the newcomers who are persecuted by the government. Mm-hmm. He publicly said last time in a meeting that he's going to New York to welcome the president and the dictator who stayed in power for 20 years, and he is self-appointed and elected president. He went there to welcome him, and he can't welcome the dictator who persecuted us. And to say also here, he's welcoming newcomers, he's supporting families and so forth. He's just using those community development words to cover up the other illicit activities, collecting money for 2% tax and other reasons. That's the only purpose that I could say. I was a member. I am a member of the Winnipeg Eritrean community led by Lambros Kyriakakos, being fooled in the first place, saying this is just Eritrean community. And then I was asked to pay 2% tax to bring my credentials. And then I was asked to pay the 500 for each money. And when I saw and I have seen repeatedly people being invited, repeating the same politics we ran away from. So I have seen clearly that this community is polarized. This is not to accommodate or heal the wounds that we have suffered through. But this is just causing us to pay to more pain and live in being intimidated, blackmailed, and
okay. And so forth. Well, I very much appreciate your perspectives on this subject. I want to thank you both, Barakat and Daniel, for sharing your thoughts with us on this important issue.